After wishing everyone a Shavuot Tov. So we're on Daf Mem Gimel of the Aleph, and we're studying the sugya of Tevel Muchan Hu Eitzel Shabbos. And we have a machlokas here between Rashi and Tosus. Rashi insists that since there's a possibility of him being mafrish Tevel, therefore it's Muchan, such that he can eat it after he's mafrish Tevel. And as a result of that element, that dimension of Hachana, we said that the Iser of Ein Mevatlin Kli Mehechano does not apply. Meaning, when you put this Kli in such a position that it will receive this Tevel, then the Kli is connected to the Tevel as far as the Tevel is Muchan. And as we discussed at great length last week, the Tevel itself has a split personality. On the one hand, Tevel is Mukta, because you're not allowed to eat it. Mukta Machmas Isur. And on the other hand, Tevel is Muchan, insofar as I can anticipate in the future a time in which he'll be Mafrish, the Trumas and Maestros. So Tosis jumps on Rashi and he says, I don't understand. What do you mean a time when it'll be Mafrish, Trumas and Maestros? The Mishnah says in Trumas that not only are you enjoined from being mafrish Trumas and Maestros, if you went ahead and you did so, and you deliberately violated that Iser, then you're not allowed to eat the product of this Afrasha. The result of this Afrasha is Aser. So there's no point in time, and there's no possibility even, that this Peira, that these Peiras could become Mutter. So we discussed at great length that Rashi also agrees that, and knows very well that there's going to be an Iser which is going to be slapped down on him because as a result of the fact that he is in violation of the Iser HaFrosha. But Rashi holds that that's a separate Iser. That's not Tevel. That's a new Iser that the Rabbanon created. We called it a Knas. Maybe it's called an Iser Gavra, I don't know. But be that as it may, it's not the same identical Iser as Tevel. The Rabbanon never said that we don't recognize the HaFrosha, and the HaFrosha is invalid. The HaFrosha is very much valid. But nevertheless, there's a new Iser. We call it an Iser Chadash. Okay, that's what we did until now. Now we want to look at Tosfos, Divra Maschil Tevel, and see another part in Tosfos, another kasha that Tosfos raises against Rashi. And Tosfos says the following: V'od Hiksha. Okay, we'll have to try to find this. I know it's a little bit like a needle in a haystack, but what can I do? I didn't print the page for you, so you can't blame me. Tosfos Divra Maschil Tevel, I would say it's about halfway down, a little bit more than half, and if it helps at all, the first word in the line is A-A-Shishas. And then it should say V'od Hiksha. So if you have that... if you have that V'od Hiksha and Tosus, we're ready to start the new week. And Mirtz Hashem, it should be a good week, full of not only Tevel, but HaFrashas Trumas and Isis. He says, V'od Hiksha. Furthermore, there's another problem that I have to raise, another objection. Ki hechi di Omar, in the same way that you're telling me, diem avar v'tikno mitukon, that if he takes advantage, thank you, of the opportunity to be mafrish trumas and maestros, even though albeit that he's not allowed to do so, and as the Israelis say, nichnas lo juk barosh, he got this itch, and he decided, I have to be mafrish trumas and maestros. And I don't care right now what the Rabbanon are telling me, and they're saying I'm not allowed to do so. He says, if that's your logic, if that's what makes it Muchan, Tevel is Muchan because he can go ahead and he can be Mafris Trumas and Maestros if he wants to, again, in violation of the Issa the Rabbanon. And if you're telling me, therefore, Tevel has an element of Muchan to it, because the possibility of going ahead and violating the Issa HaFrosha, that makes it Muchan, he says the following. Let's apply that logic even to the case of a tarnagolas. You remember that we said that you're not allowed to place a vessel underneath the hen in order to catch the egg, because you're being mevatel klimei hechana. Because as soon as the egg falls in to the vessel, the egg is no longer on Shabbos, it's therefore muktzah. Then what you're doing is you're being mevatel the klimei hechana, because you're converting this vessel that receives the egg in it into a basis ledavar asur. So Tos says, why not say the following? Why not suggest the following? If we would violate the Isur Mukta, and he would remove the egg, Mutar HaKli Litaltel, the Kli would no longer maintain its status as a Basis L'Davrasa. So the only reason he can't move the Kli is because it has the egg inside of it. Well, let him move the egg. Ah, you're not allowed to move the egg. But the potential exists for him to move the egg. And if he went ahead and he moved the egg, then there would be no reason to consider that vessel that has the egg in it as mukts, as also betiltu, because the whole reason why it's also betiltu is because what's inside the vessel? The egg. He removed the egg. So you'll tell me, what do you mean he removed the egg? He's not allowed to remove the egg. Well, in the case of Tevel, you can tell me, well, he went ahead and he was mafresh. He's not allowed to be mafresh. In other words, once you're opening up, you know, you're opening up a Pandora's box here, you're saying, well, let's consider the possibility that he could change the situation, remove the Isur Mukta by violating some sort of an Isur Drabanan. And that's why, logically, you insist that Tevel is Mukhan, because he can go ahead and violate the Isur Drabanan of Hafrasha. Then why not say that in the case of a Kli that's being used to receive the egg, he can violate the Isur of Tiltil Mukta, and he can remove the egg. And once he removes the egg, there's no reason why. So why not say the Kli is still Mukhan, even after it receives the egg, because of the possibility and the anticipation that he will remove the egg? And don't tell me, because you're not allowed to remove the egg, because I'll tell you, you're not allowed to be Mafris Chumas and Meisr. So the Tevel is not Mukhan. If the Tevel is Mukhan because you go ahead and violate the Isra Afrosh and remove the Isra Tevel, then by that same token, I'm not being levatel a kli mehechana when it receives the egg, because I can go ahead and take the egg and violate that Isra Mukhsa, remove it from the vessel, v'im kainan. If you apply this logic, says Tosus, then bitalta toras bitul kli mehechana. You have completely neutralized the Isur of Bitul Kli Mehechano, because you've basically undermined it. Because every time you'll tell me that you're Mavat, excuse me, you're being Mavatul Kli Mehechano, well, I'll tell you, well, you just removed that Mux that's in the Kli, and therefore you are Mavatul Kli Mehechano. If Hachana opens up the possibility of considering every way and every method and every action that he would do to remove the Isur Mukta, then Bitalta Toras Ein Mevatlin Kli Mehechano. And now we're up to the words V'lav Pirchehi. So what we want to do now excuse me, what we want to do now is we want to underline these words V'lav Pirchehi, which is Tosus's answer. And we want to take a little bit of a detour here at this point, sort of like midway through this presentation of Tosus, and we want to look at the Ritva. Okay, then the Ritva is here on the Daf Dibra Maskel Tevel, and we're halfway through the Ritva, and the Ritva says the following. Okay, so do we have the paragraph that starts Tevel, which is on the top left of your photocopy?
Yeah, Dr. Joel Harvey, yeah? Did you guys need another repro there?
Yeah, Harvey needs.
Okay, then.
You have repro? I think we only have one more. You have that?
No.
No.
Okay. It's not in the book. It's here. It's not.
Okay, so Rabosai, what I'm going to ask you to look for about two-thirds of the way down this paragraph, the first word in the line is Tomar. About two-thirds of the way down in the paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, if we ever get really technologically developed, I mean, this is futuristic, I'm going to be able to just, you know, highlighted on the whiteboard, you know. But we're not up to that madrega yet. We're moving towards it. We've already got things like a whiteboard, thanks to Don. We already have Skype. We already have tape recorders. We've shut off our cell phones, so we're making progress here in technology.
You may have fallen back with the word tape recorder, though. There's no tape in there.
I see. So what do we call it? The recorder without the word tape? Or V.M. Tomar, he says the following. Mikolakom, le'inyan shmuasenu, as far as understanding our sugya, that you're allowed to place this vessel to save the tevel, and receive it in that receptacle, and it's not a violation of Ein Mevatlin Kli Mehechano. Nehi, I agree. She'im Avar V'tikno Mitukan. If you went ahead and you were mafresh, which you're not allowed to do, but you did it, is then it removes the Isur Tevel. But Kol Kamadilo Tikno. But as long as he hasn't done so, Dovar HaAsurhu. It's right now. It's in the state of Isur. And at the moment, the critical moment when he places the vessel underneath the tevel, k'shenosei kli tachtov harei mevatel kli meichano, sherei osur hu litlo misham. So how do we understand that the fact that you're capable and you have the potential of being mafris trumas and maestris and remove the isur tevel down the line, how is that going to help me for the moment that I'm placing the vessel receiving the tevel? At this point I haven't yet exercised or implemented my opportunity, my possibility of being mafrish, and right now there's an isur tevel, the kli is receiving the isur tevel, it now is mukta. So I was mavatel kli meichon v'chitema, and if you'll tell me the lochoshiv bitul kli meichon came in the efshar lovo bo bayom liday heter. And if you'll tell me, well, that's not called being mevatel kli mehechano because there is a possibility down the line, efshar means it's a possibility, that on this day of Shabbos we can come to a heter and remove the isur mukta and have everything muchan, I feel bavera, even though I have to do it bavera. In Cain, if that's your logic, then kishenosen kli tachas habeitza, what about the case where you put the vessel underneath the egg? Hareim avar vesilek es habeitza, yeha kli muchan l'taltel bo. You're talking about the potential and the possibility of being of removing the isur mukta on this kli, and therefore you're not willing to consider it and define it as mevatel kli mehechano, because the possibility that the mukta will be removed, and therefore you're saying, well, I can remove the mukta possibly if I would violate the isur afrosh and go ahead and be mafrish. So the same thing logically should apply in the case of the beitza, because what are you telling me? That now the beitza is mukta and it's in the vessel, I can go ahead and remove the beitza, and then the vessel becomes ois mukta, it's no longer mukta. And then he's going to say, if you fast forward just about two lines, because again, I'm trying to avoid the migu, which is a sugya unto itself, tirtzu betosvus. So I ask you to underline those words, tirtzu betosvus, two lines below if you were following me until now. And we're going to put this on the side now and go back to alitosis, because believe it or not, tirtzu betosvus is not alitosis. The Ritva has a tosis that we don't have. So let's see the Tosis that we do have. The Lav Pirchehi says Tosis the Ha Kimosha Hakli Im Habeitza Ein La Heta. In the situation now, as the vessel is, the egg is in the vessel, there is no way of removing the Iser Mukta. No, it's as is. Again, there's a possibility of removing Mukta by removing the egg, but right now the status quo is that the Beitza is in the Kli. And as long as the Beitza, which is Mukta, is in the Kli, Ein La Heta. You want to underline those words. Ein La Heta. Okay, so the only way that you can be matir, the kli, is by juggling things around, you know, moving the pieces of the puzzle around, and removing the beitza. You know, you have to actively remove the beitza. But until you do so, the situation is that this beitza, as long as it's in the kli is mukta. It's a bosis l'dovros, it's mukta. Tevel, do I have to remove the tevel from the kli in order to be matir the kli? Tol says, no, I don't have to remove the tevel. I can be mata the kli without removing the tevel. How so? Al yidei tikkun. All I have to do is be mafresh. Let's take a little bit of the tevel out and say this is one tenth is for the Levi and the 1/40 is for the Kohen. Whatever I say, Trumas and Maisros. So we're up to Vod Hiksha. Once again, you have to underline the words Vod Hiksha. Okay,
he's kind of splitting hairs.
That was his answer.
He's still taking something out.
Something, but not all of it.
So what?
It's a big difference.
Unless you say you can do a tikkun from some place, some other.
Yeah,
place
or then you do a tikkun from some place else. Yeah, that's also true. But Tosis is emphasizing the following point. Let's just again just to reiterate the Tosis. Tosis saying that you don't have to take the tevel out of the vessel in order to be matir the vessel. In the case of the beitzah, you have to remove the beitzah. There's no way, no how that you can be matir the tevel, the vessel, without removing the beitzah. So you need to intervene here. I call it intervention. Doc, in your field, do they use that word intervention, or that's more for the you're also a surgeon, but
intervention comes in there.
No, not so much in ophthalmology. Okay,
no.
But in other areas, like for example, in surgery, they talk about intervention. I mean, how aggressively do we have to intervene here? So I'm just using this as a mashal. In this case, to be matir, the kli that has the egg in it, the beitzah, you need intervention. You need active intervention. You have to change. You have to change the rules of the game here by changing the kli. How do I change the kli and make the kli into muchan? I remove the kuvaseh. Remember, we always speak about kuvaseh. I had it on the board here many weeks ago. You actively have to change the status quo. How do you do so? Because the kli has the baits in it. Well, I have to remove the baits. I've really changed the rules of the game because as far as this kli is concerned, the baits is in the kli. I can actively remove it. Says Tosa, in the case of Tevel, it's different. I don't have to take the Tevel out of the Kli in order to be marked in the Kli. I can remove the Isur Muktzah from the Kli without taking the Tevel out. How so? By being Mafresh. Okay, again, I don't want to get into details. Don is saying, well, I still have to take out some, and Dr. Joel is saying, no, I don't have to take out, I can be Mafresh Mokum Acher. We don't have to get into that. But conceptually, what Tosa is saying is that Tevel that once was mukta and is in the kli, remains in the kli, but is no longer mukta. Mm-hmm. How so? Through afrasha. In the case of the beitzah, I don't have that option. In order to remove the mukta, I have to remove the beitzah from the kli. I have to really change, as I said, the rules of the game. The beitzah, the kli is no longer receptacle for this object. I can, in tevel, I can remain with the status of the kli as a receptacle holding on to the tevel. I can remove the isa tevel. But in the case of Beitzah, insofar as Beitzah is Muktzah, and it generates the Isur on the Kli, because the Kli is a Bosses L'Doros, I can never remove that status of Muktzah from the Kli unless I remove the Beitzah. That's already active intervention. That's not something that could be considered Hachon. So if you'll take a look at Rav Soloveitchik here for a moment in the Harei Kedem, after he quotes Tosvis, you'll take a look on the right side on page Kuf Mem Aleph. Right side on the bottom, three lines up from the bottom, Ubipshuto Kavanoso. Okay, do we have page Kuf Mem Aleph?
Where?
Just first of all, answer this question. Do we have page Kuf Mem Aleph? Because if we're not on page Kuf Mem Aleph, this is not going to be good,
Is it one's divorce and one's Meister? Is that what it is?
Rav Soloveitchik says it slightly differently. He doesn't call it Dibra Maisa. He says the following: Ubepshuto Kavanosu L'Chalik. Listen to this: the Bebeitza Kol Atikun Hu, in order to remove Mukta from this vessel that's holding on to the egg, Al Yudei Maisa Siluk Shalabeitza. He has to actively remove the egg. Very Asha. But right now, where is the egg? It's inside the Kli. So as far as this hour is concerned, this moment in time is concerned, when the beitzah is inside the basket, he's being mevatel the basket from its state of hachana. It's now mukta. You'll tell me biyadol asalka, you can remove the egg. Havile, and here you have to underline this, maisa chadosh liachar zman.
Where are we? Sorry.
This one on the top left over here, the second line. Havile, towards the end of that one, Maisa Chodosh Li'achar Zman. Okay then?
It was strange.
Masha Ein Kein B'Tevel, gam bizman shehu, which means the tevel is munach bekli, harei biyadol etakna. So you don't need what he calls a maisa chadash to remove the mukta from the kli. In order to be mata the kli, I can leave the mukta in the kli, but all I have to do is be mafrish, and therefore remove the status of tevel, the status of iser from the peros, and the male of the kli becomes mutter. I don't have to change the kli itself. I don't need a maisa chadash, a new action, to change the situation of the kli. All I can do is change the mukta. If I can change the mukta without removing it, then the whole yisod, the whole fundamental point that the kli is now a basis, it's holding on, it's a base for mukta, that's not so. It's no longer a base for mukta. In the case of the egg, it's always a base for mukta, unless you remove the egg. But that's already a new maisa. You know, the situation as such is that the egg is now munaf for kli. The kli is now a basis for the mukta, and therefore it's, you know, that's an immovable mover over here. That's real mukta. Al-Kain, he says, therefore, Ein Banachas HaKli Mishum Bitul Kli Meichan HaKalika, when he puts the tevel in the Kli, it doesn't really mean that there's mukta in the Kli, and the Kli is a basis to the mukta. That mukta is a temporary kind of mukta. Right now it's mukta, but tomorrow or an hour from now it's not mukta. In the case of Beitza, once it's mukta, it's always going to be mukta. And if the Kli, by definition, is a basis to mukta. And then he writes, Vakati Tzarech Bir Buzeh. He's not happy. He still thinks that we are splitting hairs.
I agree with him.
Well, that's not good, because if you agree with him, then you disagree with Tulsa. So,
can
you know,
I ask a question?
Yeah.
Mafrisha, do you actually have to physically take out, or is it just designating them?
Yeah, so that's a side discussion over here. That you have to know a lot about the Truas of Maestros here, which is a whole Masecht and Shas.
See, if it's question of not actually physically removing it, you're just, does it was, then I can understand it. But
at the end of this Ritva, by the way, you'll take a look, the last line in the Ritva, again, I don't want to confuse you here, but you'll see the line that says, Efshar b'machshava. Do you see that? The last line in this paragraph.
Yeah.
So if you underline those two words, which are really meant to just confuse you, he says, Efshar b'machshava, which is answering, he's addressing your question, Don, that you don't even have to dig into the tevel to take out. There's something called Nosein Eidah Mitzad Zev, Yochel Mitzad Acher. Again, these are really heavy issues in Hilchos Truas of Maestros, which, you know, that would require another year of study. But be that as it may, you'll have to agree with me that in any event, no matter how you engineer the Hafrasha, most, you know, Ruba to Ruba, that's 99% of the tevel, is still in the Kli. The tevel is the cause of the mukta in the kli, right? So the source of the problem, meaning the contagious, you know, diseased molecules are in the tevel,
right?
And that situation where the tevel and it engenders an iser in the kli can be changed. So tevel is not a permanent kind of an iser. Now, in the case of beta, what makes the kli asur? It's the status of mukta in the beta. That status of mukta is absolutely permanent. I mean, up until after Shabbos, but I mean, during the course of Shabbos, there's no way of removing the status of mukta. You could change the whole situation, says Tosfos. And that's what Rav Salvich calls a maisa mitzah, maisa chodesh liachar zman. You know, you can take the mukta out of the kli, but right now, you went ahead and you avatled the kli. You can't say anything about the egg itself. That status of Iser, which engenders Mukta, is a temporary status. The status of Iser regarding Mukta in the Beitza is permanent. There's no way of removing that. And therefore, when you put the Kli in such a way that it receives the Beitza, you're creating this kind of, you know, marriage relationship between the Kli and the Beitza in such a way that you've made it into Mukta. The Kli is now Mukta. Don't talk to me about a Maisa Chadosh Liachar Zman. In the case of Tevel, what power inheres in the Tevel of Isa to contagiously create Mukta, the status of Isa in the Kli? It's a temporary kind of status. It's a status where that Tevel itself could become ice tevel, it could no longer be tevel. He's not happy with it. He says, Tzarech bir bazeh. And therefore, he tells us to look in the Ritva. Okay, so we underlined a few words in the Ritva, and that's where we want to get back to the Ritva. Tirtzu v'tosfus. Okay, do we have the Ritva? Do Did we underline the words of the Tirtzu Vitosis?
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is all to make life easier for ourselves because we don't have that technology.
When he says Tirtzu, is it going to be the text that we have?
Or no, this is text. Again, if it was the text that we have, then Tzarek Bier, he says, I don't understand it, it's splitting hairs, and he's going to leave it at that. You know, quoting the Ritva is not going to be happy. You know, that's not a reason for celebration. But apparently the Ritva, and this I can promise you from other studies of the Ritva all over the place, he has Tosis in that we don't have. And that shouldn't surprise you. You know, Tosis itself was compiled over the course of centuries, many centuries. You know, it's not like one author who wrote the Tosis. He says the following. Shiny Tevo, Sheyesh biyado lesaken gufa isur. Masha enkein bebeitza, she'ein biyado letaken gufo shel isur shel gufa kli. Those are the words of Tosfos that the Ritva has. And now, after having quoted the verbatim the words of Tosfos, the Ritva tries to interpret the Tosfos. Again, it's not our Tosfos, but it's his Tosfos. Pirush le pirusha. I'll give you a commentary on their commentary. The kevon de sheha isur hagorem le isra kli hu davar sheyesh lo takana. The isur itself, that's the teva, which causes and generates the isur and the kli, is something that has a takana. The latzeis me isuro, you can remove the isur belisha maisa. Now this is interesting. He adds something which we don't have in Atosis, belisha maisa. You know, I don't think Tosis is operating with this premise, belishum maisa. Tosis is operating the premise that there is a maisa of hafrasha, but that's on the mukta itself. So the mukta itself becomes a quasi mukta, a temporary mukta, because I can do a maisa on the mukta and remove the isa that's inherent in the mukta. He goes a little bit further and he says you don't even need a maisa to be mataka in and that's based on that last line that I anticipated before, efshar b'machshav. He says, therefore, ein bo, the tevel itself does not have koach lachshov to generate in the kli a status of mevutal meichanim, of bitul meichanim, machmasu as a result of the tevel. Vafilu odo olav, even if I leave the tevel inside the kli, again that part is exactly like Tosus. Dolo olav isura, it's not a powerful isur. Called it a temporary isur, a removable isur. It's an isur that has a built-in matir to it to remove that isur. Masha'en ki bebeitza, the ein she'ein efshar lahatir isuro bo bayom. There's no way of removing the isur that's inherent in the egg, and that means that even if you remove the egg from the kli, that doesn't change anything as far as the status of the isur, the mukta, and the gam gufo shel kli. As far as the Kli is concerned, in the case of Tevel, I just have to remove the Isur Tevel. I don't have to change or do any action in the Kli. But in the case of the Beitza, I'd have to do an action in the Kli by taking the Kli and emptying it of its Beitza, of its Mukta. V'ilu tikun Tevel afilu b'machshav. As I said before, you can do it b'machshav. Okay. Now, the Ran is quoted here, again we're back on Kuf Mem Aleph, paragraph Ach, which we stopped on, we stopped a minute ago, and he says, Kayotza bo b'chidushe haran, this is line number 5, and the Ran says, quote, V'lav kushehi, da'anan haki kamrin, sheyesh l'kli azeh shas ha-kosher, afilu bi'od, she'oso doba shenesu olaf. I can be macha the kli, be matir the kli, remove its status as mukta, even when the tevel is still in the kli. Avok shenestale ka iser min hashem, eino min hashem. But eino min hashem means it's not relevant to us. It's not within the purview of being mechin the kli by saying, well, I can remove the mukta from the kli. In other words, we have a principle called basis ledavar asur. If something is holding on to mukta, then it's muktzah. We don't say, well, maybe he'll remove the muktzah from the kli. We never consider that as a possibility. And therefore the kli, insofar as it has the beitza in it, is a basis l'davar atzer. That is the status inherent in the kli. That's the halachic status of the kli. You cannot say, well, the kli is not a basis. It's a basis. And every basis, you can always say, well, I'll remove the muktzah from the kli. You know, that doesn't give you any rights to remove the status of a basis because of the possibility that he might go ahead and violate these muktzah and remove the muktzah from the vessel that's holding on to it. In the case of tevel, however, there's a magic here that he's able to leave the tevel in the kli and yet remove and change the status of both the tevel and the kli by doing afrosh. The akati, nevertheless, sarech bir b'sfaros. In other words, even after Tosus and the Ritva, the name of Tosus, and the Ran, it still is a little bit befuddled. It's a little bit unclear.
Why? What you're saying makes sense. Why is it unclear to them?
He's still bothered by the fact that although there's a way of removing the status of Muktzah, you're still intervening over here to remove the status of Muktzah. You're only telling me different gradations. You know, how far do I have to go in order to remove the status of muktzah and actively intervene? In the case of tevel, I don't have to go too far because, let's say, the Ritva says I can do it with machshava, or the way the Ran and Tosa say it, I can still leave the tevel in the kli. In the case of Beitz, I have to go even further. My intervention requires even a stronger intervention and more active one. I have to take the Beitz out of the kli. But at the end of the day, you're just you know, splitting hairs over here because you're not giving me some sort of fundamental distinction here. Meaning, let's put it this way: Tosus in his question, and the Ritva also, and the Ran also, they all ask the same question: what about the possibility of removing the egg from the kli? So what's the definition that the Havamin, again in this case the Havamin of three different Rishonim, and there are probably a dozen more, what is the definition of that Havamin? And what definition replaces that definition in the Teretz, in the Maskon? There's no clear-cut distinction between the question of Tosus and the answer of Tosus. I mean, Tosus just comes up with a hechatimtza possibility. You know, you can't remove the muktzah from the kli in the case of the beitza unless you remove the beitza, and here, you know, in the case of tevel, you can remove the isa tevel without removing the tevel from the kli. You know, it's all fine and dandy, but it's very technical, and it doesn't give us... You have to understand, again, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but in the methodology of what we call brisk, we like to find issues that are fundamental. You know, you have a halacha that can be defined in two ways. You know, there was a sheet in Litta called Tells. You know, Tells went very far. You know, they would look at a cup like this and say, well, is the cup half full or is it half empty? You know. So in Brisk, they didn't like that kind of hakir because it's just a matter of etymology, of just words, you know. But if you come up with a fundamental distinction, you know, which the two possible definitions, that's what makes a brisker happy. So if you know any briskers, I mean, no, you know, present company excluded, then you want to get them to smile, you have to give them what we call a hakira. Are you familiar with that word? A hakira. This word you have to learn.
Okay.
You don't want me to write on that.
Okay.
So a hakira means you have a halacha, right, a din, and now you offer two definitions of the din. Okay? And both of them mechanically
would work.
They're both satisfactory. You know, if you're looking for in fancy English, the operatus momentum, you know, the operational method of the halacha, you know, you can give it two different definitions, how the halacha works, then that's what makes a brisker happy. That's a hakira. Okay, so now we're going to look at Os Beis here, which is the bottom left of your page, Kuf Mem Aleph. Okay then? And we're going to try to understand... Okay, we're going to try to understand what is going on in these Rishonim, and I just want to say by way of introduction, we may not be convinced at the end of the day that this is what Tosis had in mind, but if it works, it works. If it's not Tosis, then it's the Hari Keder. Okay. But maybe we'll be able to fit it into Tosis. Yesh l'histapik. I think I may have underlined that. I don't know if it came out on the photocopy. Yesh l'histapik. At the end of line one. What does yesh l'histapik mean? Yesh l'achkar. It's the same identical language. We can have two different definitions of Allah. The yesod. Yesod means the definition of the iser of basis l'mukta. So on both sides today, we're beginning mukta. You know, until now we've been talking about being mevatel kli mehechano. We've been talking a little bit about mukta machmas iser. But now we're really dealing with fundamentals, and this is called basis. Ha'im. Okay, now after the word ha'im, you want to put a one, a number one. Because as I told you, every hakir has a one and a two. And if you're a rugged chav, it has even a three. But we're not up to that, madriga. So we're up to number one. Ha'iser shel mukta mispashet v'chal gama ala basis. This is what I call the system of unification, or swallowing one thing into another. So you have this big thing called mukta, and then you have a little thing called basis. The mukta just grows and grows like this amoeba, and it swallows up the basis, the utensil that is the receptacle for that mukta. Okay then? So that's his first definition. And therefore, according to this definition, Ein ha-basis asur bi-isur b'fnei atzmo. There's really no separate category called basis. Basis is just our definition of the mukta itself. The mukta includes the basis.
That's part of one? Or just
one.
That's the part of two.
Okay? Now, at the beginning of line 4, Odilma, you see the word Dilma? Line 5, excuse me? Yeah? That's where you want to put your number 2. And he says the following. Iser basis l'davar ha'asur hu shem iser nosaf bifnei atzmo. Which means it's a new category of iser. This is the anti-swallow up thesis. And according to the mechanics now, we have a new kind of iser mukta, which is called basis, and that's engendered and generated by the kli itself, by the basis itself. The basis itself cries out, I am mukta. It has its own yichus. It's not because it's one with the mukta, but because it's asur v'iser chadash.
It's
a brand new category, Harvey called what? Busts. Busts becomes now a new category. Okay. Now he tells you, we're up to Simon Memches. He tells you to look in Simon Nun, and there he's going to discuss this at great length with all the ramifications and the nafkaminas ledina. But let's see how we can utilize this Hakira here in the context of Teva. And he says the following. V'nira dehein hein divrei atosus hanal. That this Hakira, these two working operating definitions, are the focal point, you know, the fulcrum of Tosus and his Havamin and the Kasha and his Maskon and his Ants. In other words, Tosus in the Havamina is going to take one of these two definitions, and in the Maskana he's going to take a different definition. Now I don't know which is going to go first, number one or number two. You know, that's a matching question which we're going to only figure out in a minute. He says the following: De'i neima de'iser basis havi iser chadash. If we're going to accept definition number two, that basis a category unto itself, in Cain. BMS Kushas Atosis Nechona. Now I understand full well Tosis is Kasha. Why? Tohagam Binosen Kli Tachas Abeitza Ena Kli Nesar Li Achar Siluk Abeitza.
It's a temporary...
Right, in other words, if you're telling me that there's a new category called buses, well, that category called buses is only relevant as long as the beitzah is inside the kli. And therefore, if I ask myself the question about the status of muktzah that I'm now imposing, superimposing on this kli by receiving the beitzah, it's really a conditional and temporary status. Liskilon bazeh. All we have to say to indicate that the kli is still muchal is biyadol asalikas habeitzah. He has the power and the potential to remove the beitzah me'al gabei hakli. And now we turn to page Kuf Mem Beis. And once he removes the beitzah from the kli, he undermines and neutralizes the dinim of vatel kli me'echana. And why is that any different than the case of Tevel? In the case of Tevel, you're telling me that he can violate the Isra Afrasha and therefore be matir the kli by removing the Isra Tevel, and therefore it's not considered mevatel kli mechano. Ishachinami Tosus says the same logic should apply in the case of a kli that you place underneath the beitza. He could be matir the iser by removing the beitza. So what difference does it make whether he could be matir the iser tevel by removing trumas and maisers, or whether he could matir the iser hachana, the books and the kli, by removing the beitza? In both cases, the iser of bosses will be removed. Right, it's the muktzah of machmas bosses is a muktzah that lends itself to a heter. How does it lend itself to a heter? Well, in the case of tevel, by removing the hafrosha. By the case of beitz, by removing the egg. In both cases, the bosses status is a very iffy and conditional kind of status. Ach. Okay, here you want to underline the word ach. Now we're going back to definition number one. Rabbi Osei, who can reiterate? What was his first definition?
Swallows it up.
It's one Isa. It's not muktzah plus buses, one plus one, it's one. You know, buses is also muktzah. If we'll understand our first definition, that Isur buses the davrasur, eino Isur bifnei atzmo. It's not a new, brand new, independent Isur. Elishab buses by Isur nasim lechefza achas, shel Isur. We view the object and its base as one object. Deha buses. Tafel lemasha olav. Oh, interesting. He uses the word tafel here. What does tafel mean?
Secondary.
Something that's secondary loses its identity. Right? Because it only functions and it only has yichus insofar as it's a facilitator. So the buses is something that facilitates the mukta. Okay? By the way, the artists, I have a little bit of an interest in art. The artists would yell and scream against this, you know, because when a painter does still life painting, the vase becomes an entity unto itself. And the beauty of, if you ever go to a museum and you look at the greats, you know, mostly the Dutch were incredible at still life, and the French at some point, you'll see that the vase becomes an entity unto itself. You know, that's the first shot in Rav Soloveitchik. The second shot is that the vase has no significance whatsoever.
No, the second shot.
Oh, did I get it wrong? In other words, it's tafel. Tafel means it loses its significance.
That's the first shot.
I call it the second shot, the Tosa's answer.
Okay.
Yeah? Am I wrong in the numbers here? Did I get something wrong? Ach means number. Oh, you mean? Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Oh, in his original formulation, the Chakir. Yeah. But now, what I mean by number two is the Maskana, meaning the final conclusion of Tosus, which was originally number one, but now became number two. Right. The final conclusion, chronologically, in the presentation of Tosus, is that there is no such thing as buses. That's a figment of our imagination. Buses is nothing more than chefza achas. It's just completely tafel. So that, al derech hamashal, you know, that gives the vase a very insignificant status. Okay. He says the following. He says, da buses tafel lema sha'olav. By the way, this concept of tofel in the Shas, you won't see the word tofel, as far as I can tell. I mean, again, you could do a word search in Bar Ilan and see if you find the word tofel. I don't think so. The word in Shas for tofel is called bittel. Again, not the bittel that we're talking about, a bittel chli mehechano, where you make it impossible to move a vessel and it gets permanently attached to the karka, as Rashi says, like a melechas boner. But bittel means when something loses its own identity. Are you familiar with that? Shmuel, you've probably spent a lot of time on that, right? On the concept of bittel,
yes,
in your day. And bittel means, again, there's certain things that aren't bottle. You know, can never lose their identity.
Tavar sheyesh lo matir.
Or birya. You know, where my famous drush I used to give at the end of the year in Mevaseret to the guys, you know, I say, listen guys, you know, as far as your Torah status before you came into the yeshiva, I don't know, but now you became a birya. A birya is an entity unto itself, and therefore, no matter where you go on the face of the earth, you'll never be bottle. You'll always maintain your own identity. That was my drush. You know, my father was a darshan, so that's part of my bloodstream here. He says the following: that the bosses is bottle to the mukta, because the mukta is the ikar, and the bosses is a tofel. Well, what's the bosses doing over it? It's only holding on to the. It's the base of the kli. So now the iser of the bosses is really the iser of the mukts itself. Now we can begin to shine, you know, shine forth the answer to Tosfos. Why? What do you tell me? I can remove the beitzer from the kli to self. Hashta now calls mancha iser munach olav hare shame bosses olav. It still has the status of a bosses. Varei iser she munach al gabav who iser she elo heter. In other words, as far as the beitzah is concerned, you can't remove the iser from the beitzah, and now the kli that's holding on to the beitzah is one and the same. It's one object halachically with the muktza that's on it. In Cain, Gam dina bosses chomir kimo mukta atzmo shalav. You cannot differentiate between the bosses and the mukta. The bosses itself has the status of the mukta. It's not an independent identity, an object unto itself, but rather it's the mukta. Now, does the mukta have any head there? Can you take this beitza and remove the mukta from it? No way, no how. There's no way that you can remove, for this Shabbos at least, the iser mukta that's inherent in the beitza. And therefore, if we apply that to the bosses, right, this is the swallow-up theory that we call the Cheftza Achas, then dina bosses, totally the dina mukta sha'olav. Kishem sha'a mukta sha'olav asur b'isur olam, just like the iser mukta, as far as Shabbos is concerned, is immovable and cannot be subject to any permission to any heter. Is so too the same the same exact status applies to what? To the buses. For who eino mukhar etzel Shabbos, just like mukta is antithetical to hachana, it's mufka from hachana, so too the buses that schlepped along as the extension of the mukta is also an iser olam that doesn't lend itself to any heter. Sharei gavim tesalik es habeitza adayin hi tia mukta b'chol makom shehi. Even if you remove the egg still remains mukta. The mela, the buses remains mukta. In kein gam bittel hakli me'echana shel hakli shetachas habeitza hu bittel gamur. And you know, it's a fascinating idea here. It's sort of like, you know, they have these little robots that the children play with remote control. You know, there's this kind of a remote control theory over here. That insofar as the bosses has the same status as the mukta itself, then even if you remove the mukta by remote control, the bosses still maintains its status as mukta. So you can never actually undermine and remove the status of mukta from the bosses. Masha Enkein, Bitevel, Al Gabi Kli. If you have Tevel on the Kli, HaTevel Atzmo Muchan Hu Eitzel Shabbos. In other words, the Issa Tevel itself remains temporary and lends itself to a Hafrosha to remove that Issa. It's an Issa Sheyesh Lo Heter. In Cain, Gam ha-kli atzmo shehu bosses, even though it's a bosses eitz la-tevel, aval kshem sha-tevel atzmo muchan hu, it came v'vadei gam ha-kli muchan hu v'ein bo mishum mevatel kli mehichon. But both sides. What's going on here is, again, we're going to have to see if we can read this into Tosis, I can't promise you. A fundamental difference between the Havamina and the Maskon. And the Havamina Tosis thinks that Bosses is a separate entity and it has its own rules and regulations. It has Yichus Atzmi, its self-generated Muktzah, meaning the Muktzah is inherent in itself as long as it's a Bosses. Once you remove the Muktzah from it, then the Bosses is no longer a Bosses, and therefore the its identity as a Bosses is completely gone. Because again, the identity of Bosses is independent of the Muktzah. That's Tosis Havamin. And therefore Tosis says the following. Well, insofar as Bosses has an independent entity, an independent identity, then it's a temporary identity. Because as long as the Muktzah is on it, it's a Bosses. You remove the Muktzah, it's no longer a Bosses. It's just like Tevel, you know, as long as you haven't done Afrasha, it's awesome at Tevel. You do the Afrasha, it's not awesome. There's absolutely no difference. Tosis answers no. There's a remote control theory that operates with regard to Bosses. The Bosses will always maintain the same status as the Muktzah. If you can remove the Isur Muktzah, that's one thing. But if you cannot remove the Isur Muktzah, the Isur Muktzah is called an Isur Olam, and it doesn't lend itself to Heter, then the same thing applies to the Bosses, because in Hilchos Muktzah, the Bosses is seen and defined as an object that is one and the same with the Muktzah itself. So whatever halachic legal status you give to the Muktzah, you give it to the Bosses by virtue of this unification theory. If that be the case, Tosis answers, taking out the Beitzah from the Kli doesn't do a thing, because you haven't removed the status of Muktzah and the Beitzah, and the Bosses always maintains the same identical status as the Muktzah. Masha Ein Kevin Ogel Tevel, Tevel itself is Mukhan, meaning the status of the Muktzah was a temporary one. It's not like the Beitzah, which doesn't lend itself to any Heter. In the case of Tevel, there is a possibility of Heter. So the status of the Tevel is a status of something that has a built-in Achana to it, and that means that once you remove the Isur Tevel, it becomes Mutter. So too, the Bosses, which is now a Nachshleper, you know, it's one Cheftah that's determined by the status of the Muktzah, it also has a Hachana built into it. So again, the status of the Muktzah is the same as the status of the Bosses. So in the case of Beitzah, since that Muktzah is irremovable, I don't mean irremovable in the physical sense, but I mean it's unpermissible. What word can I use here?
Immutable.
If it's immutable, then the status of Muktzah in the Kli is also immutable. So by putting the Kli there to receive the egg, you violated the Isur of being Mavato Kli Mechano. But in the case of Tevel, that's a different kind of status. That object has a Muktzah status which is mutable. Is that immutable is mutable? No.
I don't think so.
No. It's either removable. Immutable or movable.
Removable,
okay. If that gets across the point. I'm sure if we had a thesaurus, we'd be doing better. There's a Rebbe in Yeshiva University. I mean, he retired many years ago from Yeshiva University. Then he went over to Landa College. The some say the competition of YU. Anyway, so he now retired. He was teaching for, I don't know, probably more than 65 years, if you can imagine such. Because he started teaching at a very young age. And the old days, I don't know lately, but the old days, I never learned by Rapanis, but they used to say about Rapanis' Shia that all Rapanis needs is a Gemara and a Theosaurus. That's all he needed. Because he was so into defining things, you know, finding the exact precise word. So here I'm a little bit hard-pressed to find immutable and the opposite of immutable. We'll call it Shmuel's term removable. So the Tevel is a removable temporary kind of Muktzah, and therefore this Hachana built into the Muktzah, built into the Tevel, and the Bosses has the same exact status of Muktzah, therefore it's a removable Muktzah, and that's what he says. Now let's see if we can push this into Tosis. V'lav kushi, v'lav pirchi, toha kmoshe hakli, im ha-beitza, ein lo heter, the kli with the beit zayin laheter, avol tevel yesh lo heter al yedei tikkun. I don't know. I don't see it. Honestly, it's a beautiful pshat, and I think we should study it and memorize it and delve into it, but I don't think it's Tosus. Let's see if we can fit into the Ritva. For sure it's not going to fit into the Ritva. The Ritva says, Shiny Tevel, Sheesh Biyod, L'Taki, Gufa Yisur, Ma She'en Kein, V'Beitza, She'en Biyod, L'Taki, Gufa, Shel Yisur. Could be. Maybe you could push it into Tosus as quoted by the Ritva. But again, it's still an Iker Mechasim in a Sefer. Obviously, you know, what the Rav said in about 1,000 words, you know, to fit into 10 words of Tosus, I don't know, maybe, could be. I'm not sure. Oh. Now we get on to another Kasha. And this Kasha apparently does not appear in this Tosus, but it appears at least in one form or another in Tosus B'Odon. So in order to appreciate Tosus B'Odon, we have to take a few minutes to make a little progress in the Gemara. So if you have the Gemara, we're up to the word Nosnin. Okay, now the first word in the line, which is about 10 lines down from the top, is Mitukan. Do you have such a thing? So again, if you're counting about approximately, don't hold me to the number, 10 lines down from the top, there's a word mitukan. And after that word, it says nosnim. Mm-hmm. Okay, now this nosnim is the first word in a braisa. And the Gemara is going to analyze this braisa. Actually, it's a mishnah. I made a mistake. If you take a look in the Mesoros HaShas, it's a mishnah. And the Mishnah says, "Nosnin kli tachas haner lekabel nitzotzos." Have you ever seen little flashes of like fire that come out? You know, little spark. Not really, yeah, maybe you can call it sparks, but nitzotzos is not just sparks. You know, but it's actually little fires. You know, that come down, little teeny fires that shoot out from a ner. And you're allowed to take a kli. Now, these little nitzotzos are quite dangerous, because you know, if you don't catch them in a kli, they could you know, land on a table and the table could catch fire. I mean, this is the tragedies of Ner Chanukah, you know, that people aren't careful about Ner Chanukah and itzotzos come shooting out. So the question is, are you allowed to put this kli? So the Mishnah says you're allowed to do so, and it doesn't seem like the heter here, at least according to Rav Yosef, is built on Hatzolah. You remember we spoke about Rabba on Daf Membeis, that there was Hatzolah Asuya, Mitsuya, excuse me. And here we're saying, Rav Yosef, that we have it, now the Nitzotzos are going into the Kli, and it's presumably the Nitzotzos are Mukta, right? They're shooting balls of fire, little shoots of fire. Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, Nitzotzos ain't ben mamsh. You know, when you talk about muktzah, you have to have something that's a food substance or a kli, a utensil, or something that's
tangible.
It has substance to it. But here, these are things that immediately when it hits the kli, it just completely disintegrates. So that's not something that could generate an isur muktzah. Then the Mishnah goes on, v'chein korosh and nishbara, if you have a beam that cracked, and you know, you want to make sure that it won't, you know, the building won't collapse, is sochen also besafsol, you're allowed to push over a table or aruchas hamita or the bed in order to place it smack against this broken beam so that the beam won't crack and fall. And once again, it would seem that this is a contradiction to Rav Yosef, because by moving the safsol or the mita, he's being mevatel kli mehechana. Okay then, so the Gemara answers, the Rafi, the Iboy Shakile. The Gemara thought Nahavamina that when he puts this sofa against the wall, against the broken beam, it becomes immovable. It's such a heavy safsol. So the Gemara says, no, Rafi. Rafi means he didn't attach it into the ground. Again, their ground is not like we're used to shayish. So we're not used to thinking of these terms. But in those days, they didn't have shayish. They had dirt floors, and if you push something very heavy and place it down in a way that you want it to be permanent because you want it to hold up the building, then the Gemara thought that that's called Mevatel Kli Me'echana. It's again a similarity to what Rashi said. It looks like Melechas Bona, as if you attach it. Gemara says, no, he didn't actually dig the bottom of the sofa, the legs of the sofa, into the ground, but roughly it's sort of on the surface. Now we have another mission in Beitzah. Noslim Kli Tachas Hadelef B'Shabbos. Okay. So we have to hope it rains. So in those days, when it rained, and they had, huts, and there were holes in the ceiling, and the rain would come through. And we're assuming that water is already completely... what word can I use? It's impure. It's got filth in it. So it's not something that's drinkable. What was the word we said?
Potable?
Not potable. So it's not potable. And therefore it's muktzah. And now he's taking a kli on Shabbos. He doesn't want the rainwater to fall into his, into his, not only soup, but into his furniture, whatever it is. So he wants to catch it. And now he's moving a kli. He's moving a kli in order to catch something that's muktzah. So Gemara says, "Bedelef haroy." I guess you can drink rainwater as long as it's still pure. Meaning, if you can catch the rainwater before it gets all filthy, then it's still so it's not muktzah. Now we get to the main Gemara for today. Who's that, Yehuda? Kofin esasal lifnei haefrochim. Okay, now we have these young birds, these little chicks, efrochim, and what you do is you take a kli and you put it upside down, and the efrochim will jump on top of this vessel. Kidei, and what's his goal here? Sheyalu v'yerdu, and this is going to be like a stepping stone for these birds to get into the coop, which is called in Hebrew a lul. So we want to set up a little stepping step so that the Efrochim could jump onto this kli, and then from there they'll be able to jump up into the lul. The lul was apparently raised from the ground. So the lul Efrochim, who are very, I wouldn't say they're immobile, but they have very limited mobility, so you have to help them a little. The problem is that the Efrochim, like any animal, is muktzah on Shabbos. And now he's moving this sal, this little basket, in order to facilitate the Efrochim jumping on top of the basket, or climbing on top of the basket. This seems to be a contradiction to Rav Yosef. Kosovar mutal etaltala. So the Gemara answers that according to Rav Yosef, you're allowed to move this sal for the purpose of allowing the Efrochim to jump onto the sal, and that's not called bittul kli mehichana. Again, we don't know why. And the Gemara right away asks, "Tanya also l'taltalo." In other words, once you put the basket and the Efrochim jump onto the basket, you're not letting him move the basket anymore. That's what it says explicitly in this price. So then, by placing the basket down there, you were mevatel kli mehichana. How could Rav Yosef say mutul l'taltalo? So the Gemara answers, "Be odon olav." The Bryce is telling you that as long as the Efrochim are sitting on top of this sal, for that temporary situation, you're not letting him move the sal. Because right now the sal is a basis limukta. But on the other hand, as soon as the Efrochim jump off the sal into the coop, then you're allowed to move the sal. Why? Because the reason why you couldn't move the sal is because the Efrochim were on top of the sal, but now the Efrochim jumped off, and you're allowed to move the sal, and therefore since you're putting the sal down, l'chatchila, in a way that will only be muktzah temporarily, as long as the Efrochim are there, but we know that we anticipate the Efrochim are just going to jump on, from the sal, jump onto the into the coop, then it becomes like that case of Mukhan that we discussed in Tevel, that there is a hachana built in over here. The sal is not permanently muktzah, it's only temporarily muktzah. Vasanya, we have a brisa that says afal pi she'ein odem olav asur, that even after the Efrokim jump off the sal, you're still not allowed to move the sal. Oh, Omar Rabbi Avo. Okay, so hold on to your chairs now, because this is going to be the first major breakthrough in establishing the principles of Mukta. Omar Rabbi Avo, be odon olav kol ben ashmoshos. When does the Braisa tell us that even after the Efrokim jump off the basket, the basket is still mukta? That's only because the Efrokim were on the basket for the period of Bein HaShmoshos, from sunset until the stars came out. Here in Israel, that's about a 20-minute period. So let's say Shkia is at 4:30. Then the Efrokim were on the basket from 4:30 till 10 to 5, to 4:30 to 4:50. Okay, the whole Bein HaShmoshos. And now we have the principle of migu that Don, I was trying to hold off on this, because I didn't want to, this is a mouthful, okay? But this you have to memorize. This is the Yisoda Yisodos and Shorosh HaVoda of Mukta. And it says here, migu this katsoi levein ashmoshos is katsoi lekule yoma. Something which is mukta when Shabbos enters is mukta for the entire balance of Shabbos. That if at the moment of Knisas HaShabbos it's mukta, then that status of mukta remains throughout the entire Shabbos. So therefore, the brisa that says that the sal is immovable, it's mukta, even after the Efrokim get off, even after they jump off, that was talking about a case where the Efrokim were there Erev Shabbos. However, when we spoke about the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that you're allowed to take a sal, a basket, and put it in front of the Efrokim to allow them to step on it, and we asked the question of Rav Yosef, how can we allow that? And Rav Yosef answered, because we anticipate that the Efrokim are going to jump off the basket. That was talking about a case where the Efrokim only jumped onto the basket during Shabbos, after Shabbos entered. At the entry of Shabbos, there were no Efrokim on the basket. And therefore, we don't apply and activate the principle of Migu. And if we don't apply the principle of Migu, then we have what's called a temporary Mukta, which means it's Mukta only for the time period in which the Efrokim are on the Kli, but not afterwards when they're off the Kli. Okay, Rav Olsay, so we'll have to go over this over and over again, but the following fundamental principles apply to Mukta. Principle number one is, if it was mukta going into Shabbos, that's called Bein HaShmoshos, then even if the reason for that mukta is removed, the mukta maintains its status throughout the entire Shabbos. That's principle number one. Principle number two is, if however it wasn't mukta at that critical moment of Bein HaShmoshos entering into Shabbos, it became mukta on Shabbos, then if you remove the reason for that mukta, like in the case of buses, you remove the mukta from the buses, then it becomes mukta. And here, again, for tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, we have the question of Tosfos in Beitza. So in order to prepare that, what I'm hoping that you'll do is you'll take a look at Os Gimel here, which is on the bottom right of page Kuf Mem Beis, and you'll see that right at the beginning of that Os, he quotes a Tosfos in Beitza, and this is a Tosfos on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. And that Tosfos in Beitza finds a contradiction to our Gemara here about Migu Diskatsoi with regard to Efrochim. And the answer to this question we're going to find on the left column here on Kuf Mem Beis. So that by the end of tomorrow, I hope that we'll be heavy into page Kuf Mem Gimel, which is Os Dalet. That's the page I gave out today. Okay, then Rav Olsay, we'll stop here. Yeah, Ben?
In terms of Tosfos, there are two Tosfos. Should we do the first or the second if we're going to prepare?
The Tosfos that we need is the second one, I believe. Let me just double check that. Kev Shem Lafricha Lamato.
Bless you. I'm running out of languages.
No, it's the first one. First one.
The first one, okay.
Yeah, but the first one. But if you have any question about it, you'll take a look at the paragraph called Vehine, which is on page Kuf Mem Beis. You see the last paragraph on Kuf Mem Beis? Mm-hmm. So it says Vehine. Okay then? So that's where he's going to quote this. Now, on this principle of Mevatel Kli Beichano, I began to look into the Sfarim. It's endless. So we're going to have to make a certain decision, maybe tomorrow or the day after, at what point do we want to move on? Because otherwise, with Takua here, we'll never get out of it. Okay, then? So we'll try to negotiate that as the days go on.
How long is endless?
I don't know. I could tell you pages and pages on this sugya of Ein Mevatel Kli Beichano. We never, by the way, reconcile the two Rashis about whether it's Melechus Sosa or Melechus Bona. Okay then, so let's make a note of where we're up to over here. Does anybody happen to have a pencil?
Yeah.
I'll give it right back. I just want to write down where we got up to. Amar Rav Yitzchak. Okay, Amar Rav Yitzchak. And that is here.
I think so.
Okay, thank you so much.
What did you say? What's his name? Ein Mevatel.
Is Ein Mevatel Kli Meisura. That's what we've been discussing, and as I said, that's gigantic. Okay then.